Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Uth. And I am all alone. That's right. I'm all by myself. Pastor Brian is away on a mission trip with his family and a few others from Bridgeway. Pastor Judah is in Southern California for schooling. And it's just me now. On today's episode, I'm going to briefly discuss the schism between President Trump and Elon Musk and what the Book of Proverbs has to teach us. In the past week, we have seen a public display of childish behavior from arguably the most powerful person in the world as the President of the United States, and according to Forbes magazine, who tracks this stuff, the richest man in the world. So here's a brief synopsis of the rift between the two. See, Elon helped campaign and fund President Trump's presidential bid. Then once in office, the president placed Elon on the newly formed board of DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, which we've talked about in previous episodes. Last month, Elon left DOGE. The reasons aren't important for this story, but in the last couple of weeks, Elon has publicly come out against the big, beautiful bill, which is estimated to add $2 trillion to the debt by calling it a disgusting abomination. As anticipated by everyone, President Trump responded by attacking Musk's credibility. Musk then turned it personal, accusing the president of being on the Epstein list, a claim he later deleted from Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. This morning, we see them trying to de-escalate the issues and calm down. Now, my point in bringing this up has nothing to do with our actual beef. It is to highlight something that I see in all of us. All of humanity has a penchant for reacting to attack or criticism with more attack or more criticism. We have this belief that we can win arguments by being right and being louder. It's like we believe we can put people in their place. However, my experience says this never works the way we think it will. This is where we need to look at the scriptures to see how we are to handle conflict in all regards. Just because we have been mistreated and are offended doesn't mean we get permission to amp up the conflict. We are called to a greater standard that creates more peace. So for the rest of our time, we're going to dig into Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 to see how countercultural our response needs to be when we feel attacked or offended. Before we dive into Proverbs, I wanted to give us a brief overview of what Proverbs is. Proverbs is wisdom for godly living. So it offers practical guidance for living a life that honors God. It covers relationships, covers work, it covers speech, finances, and character, and so much more. It's primarily attributed to King Solomon. This was written during his reign. There are other contributors throughout that get listed, but where we're going to be resting is most often given to Solomon. And Solomon, if you know, is the king that went to God and asked for wisdom. When the Lord said, I will give you anything that you want, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. It's kind of a make a wish type of a situation. And what Solomon asked for was not more riches, was not more wives, was not more this, although we see all that stuff happen later. What he asked for was wisdom. And so the Lord gave him wisdom. And then Solomon shares this wisdom with us, which that in itself is a really important facet of the Christian life. We are not given wisdom just for our own lives. We're given wisdom for us to share with others. This isn't unsolicited advice necessarily, but what it is when somebody does come to us and asks us a question, instead of giving them the answers that feel good or the answers that make us feel more righteous or justified, it's what is the wisest course of action, which is rarely the most popular course of action. So as we saw with President Trump and Elon, they began to attack one another and began to escalate their issues. They were responding the way that we would expect the world to respond. Now, I would argue that they are responding the way that we expect children in our world to respond. But I've seen this so many times in adults, in our church, in our friend groups, in our families, We all have these situations where not only do we see it in others, but we see it in ourselves. And so for today's episode, what I wanted to do is take some time to self-reflect. I cannot control what the president does. I cannot control what Elon does. They are grown men who are in control of their own lives. But what I can control is how I respond and what I can do and how I can raise my kids to respond, how I can encourage others around me to respond. Our response to conflict says way more about us than our response to almost anything else in our lives. A friend of mine has this saying. She said, when you're getting tipped over, everyone gets to see what you're full of. And when we're full of pride, when we're full of fear, when we're full of defensiveness, that's what spills out. Yet when we fill ourselves with godly wisdom, that should be what pours out. Here's the wisdom for us today. Proverbs 15:1-2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, and the mouths of fools pour out folly. The big idea here is that the power of gentle words to de-escalate conflict and promote peace are more powerful than anything else and has greater benefit to our relationships, has greater benefit to our personal lives, has greater benefit to the world around us when we are promoting peace as opposed to pursuing aggression, pursuing attack, pursuing being right. So let's break this down just a little bit. A soft or gentle in some translation, answer turns away wrath. Gentleness diffuses anger. It just does. When I'm having an argument with somebody and they come back at me with more aggression, then I get even more aggressive. And this is just all personal folly. This is not prescriptive. I get more aggressive so that I could be right. Whereas when somebody responds to me in gentleness and I don't feel attacked, it gives me an opportunity to pause and calm down and to re-rack. Now, I am a flawed human being. Just yesterday, I flawed human beinged with my staff, and I responded really poorly to something that did not need that level of response. And I'm still going through and reflecting, why did I respond that way? And I honestly don't really know, but it wasn't their fault. They didn't cause me to respond. They are not in charge of my responses anyway. Even if they did do something that offended me or made me angry, that is not their problem. That is my problem for how I respond. And I responded poorly. What I could have done is respond with soft, kind, and humble in humility, and that would have calmed the tense situation. See, this reflects wisdom and self-control and emotional maturity when we can rise above our initial reaction and get into our godly response. Keep going on in the verse. But a harsh word stirs up anger. Harshness fuels conflict. Sharp, sarcastic, and accusatory words escalate arguments. The need to be right causes more conflict in our lives than absolutely necessary. We end up elongating or exacerbating conflicts simply because we want to be right. I also see this in wanting to find someone to blame. Blame is such a American culture piece. It really is. We want somebody to be blamed and take accountability, and it's their fault. We don't want it to be our fault. We want it to be their fault. Or we want to turn that blame inward and say, I'm the problem, I'm the problem, I'm the problem, and nobody else's problem but mine. And that ultimately doesn't serve any purpose for us. Because what blame is attached to is pride, defensiveness, who's right, who's wrong, and it comes down to justifying our responses. If I can blame somebody else for their reactions, I can't be held responsible for my reactions. And that is not a biblical framework. So we need to switch that around. We need to ask ourselves, why am I being defensive? What does this bring up in me that I feel like I really need to step back and say, okay, what is actually happening here? Oftentimes I have found that it's either a pride issue, but within a lot of Christian circles, I don't actually think it's a pride issue. I think a lot of it is a fear issue. It's a fear of breaking relationship because we did something wrong. Or it's a fear of being seen as somebody who doesn't have it all together. Image management in the American culture is a giant thing. That's why social media exists. It's to manage all of our images, to make us look like we're funnier than we are, we're more attractive than we are, we're richer than we are, we're happier than we are, we're more at peace than we are. It's all about image management. But God has called us into something that's more vulnerable and more intimate, and ultimately more satisfying and more enjoyable. And that is having a relationship that's built on authenticity rather than built on personal offense or image management. The beauty of a healthy marriage is not that both people are perfect. The beauty of a healthy marriage is two imperfect people loving each other the best they can. It's accepting each other as we are and not trying to change one another into something that we can't possibly live up to. This goes into all of our healthy relationships. See, conflict is inevitable, but how we respond can heal relationships or it can harm relationships. Having to be right is rarely ever beneficial to anyone. And I think back to the relational rifts that I have with folks, and I actually don't care who was right. I care about how I was treated. And I look back with a bit of guilt and shame of how I treated others. How much could I have avoided if I would have treated people better in those situations? We tend to hurt the ones we love the most because we're the most comfortable being ourselves around them. And that's a really harsh reality that we all have to deal with. This also matters because gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, as is peace and kindness. When we have go-to reactions that look more like the world than it does like Galatians, we're in a lot of trouble. One of the things that I love about children's ministry worldwide, so not specifically to Bridgeway, is that we make scriptures memorable for kids. One of the problems that I have with it is that sometimes we make it so juvenile that as adults, we don't take it very seriously. And so we see pieces of fruit dancing across a felt board and singing songs and yada, yada, as opposed to seeing this is what we should be focusing on, that if we are living in the Spirit, we're going to see these attributes come out of our life. Gentleness, kindness, and peace should be coming out of our life if we are really living in the Spirit. If we are living in the Spirit and we are bound to have conflict with others, our responses should be gentleness. Our responses should be kindness. Our defaults should be seeking peace. And this is all about becoming more and more like Jesus. And it begins to reflect God's character. God often deals with us gently, even when we fail. Now, there are times where the Lord deals with us in fairly straightforward and harsh ways. But as I look at the ministry of Jesus, that seems to be the minority of the time and usually attached to self-righteousness, that he attacked the spiritual leaders of the time with some harsh correction. But when he sat down with folks, even some of those spiritual leaders, when he was one-on-one with them, it was very gentle and he walked through things. He didn't avoid the correction. If you look at Jesus with the woman at the well, he brings up the sin, but he doesn't harbor on the sin. He says, yeah, it's here. Change. And he gives her an opportunity for redemption. And we can take that same approach to our lives, that we don't need to escalate our conflicts back and forth and my team's better than your team or any of that junk. But we can get into a place where we can say, I want what's best for both of us, which is actually more peace and less conflict on these situations. So we can pause before responding in anger. We can pray to the Holy Spirit to guide our tone as well as our words. And this is where I fail a lot, is my tone gets radically out of control sometimes, and I don't even recognize it until it's out of my mouth. And remember that gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is best defined as controlled strength. Gentleness is best defined as controlled strength. And I've gone back and forth with this word peace today, and I want to give you a handful of verses that highlight the importance of this. In Matthew 5, 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Romans 12, 18, Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Hebrews 12, 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Galatians 5, 22, be the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Psalm 34, 14, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. 1 Peter 3, 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Romans 14, 19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Ephesians 4, 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians 3, 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 13, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. 2 Timothy 2, 22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. All of these verses are pointing us to say we need to be peace seekers, not blame shifters. We need to be peace seekers, not self-righteous winners. We need to be peace seekers and be willing to sacrifice ourselves in order to restore the relationship. This is one of those moments where I think we should ask ourselves, what does it mean to lay down our own lives and pick up the cross within conflict? We are to die to ourselves, meaning we are to die to the things that make us feel right, die to the things that make us feel better. We are to die to the things that we think are our best interest. And that sacrifice sometimes looks like bending on a boundary. That sacrifice sometimes looks like laying down our right to be offended, our right to be angry, our justification for reacting a certain way. These things do not build us up. And instead of us getting into these one-upmanships, you said this, I'm going to say this. We need to get to a place of how do we love each other well and how do we seek peace in a healthy way. Seeking peace doesn't mean avoiding crucial conversations. That's just avoidance. Peacemaking and avoidance aren't the same thing. However, how we confront issues can either lead to peace or it can lead to more conflict. One of the ways I'm currently challenging myself is when I'm at conflict with somebody else, where is my aggression coming from? Is it coming from a place of defensiveness, fear, pride? Because I can tell you, it's not coming from a righteous anger 99% of the time. I'm just not that good of a person. So I want to leave you with this today. What relationships do you need to be seeking peace in today? What offenses do you need to be dying to today? What issues of pride do you need to set aside in order for there to be reconciliation? As far as it is to us, we should be living at peace with all men, with all people. As far as it depends on us, we should be living at peace with everyone. The struggle is sometimes we don't get to dictate other people's responses. So even when we act in kindness and gentleness, they may not return that to us. But our call remains the same. We continue to seek peace. We continue to seek reconciliation. We continue to see restoration where appropriate. And we can spend a whole lot of time on the idea of restoration in future weeks. But we can look to see how God is challenging us to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed through the renewal of our minds. And we renew our minds by seeking the things that are of the Lord, the responses that are of the Lord, so that when we get tipped over, it's God's words that pour out and not our pride. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We will be back with more conversation next week, and we look forward to seeing you.